Okay, so we're holding here what he calls Vatshlish. You know, these are chaburis that he gave, Vatim, that he gave with the Matara to actually enact it, to do it. And so he picks different topics and so on. Vatshlishi. Einya shabai anu oiskim dova pasha dechura. Nikra betera ha'oras panim. Something called ha'oras panim. Hu ha'shinem betchilas gulos mizayis. The first thing is we find by HaKadosh Baruch Hu a midah or an haga that one could make parallel to Oras Panim. It says Vayishma Elokim es nakosam, Vayiska Elokim es brisoy, Vayalokim es Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim. So Rashi says, what does Vayeda Elokim mean? Nosanayim leiv v'loy helim einov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu quote unquote paid attention and did not take his eyes away. Ad oz begolos Mitzrayim Kavyocha Kadosh Baruch Hu helim einav mehem. Zui mida shel hest upon him. Berega sheloi helim einav oid hischil agula. V'nikro mechabena shel mi yoshech agula. So let's talk a little bit about this point, because this is really the key to what he's saying over here in Horas Panim, Hest Panim, Halomas Panim, and so on. The concept of Panim used in Svarim would work as follows. The Gemara says that Rebbe said, I saw Reb Meir Meachorov, not Lefonov. Every person has produces external activities, even speaking, etc. For instance, Reuven said so-and-so. That is ki'ilu, if we were to look at the back of a person, we have all the information, but nothing of the content of the person. So-and-so is this height, he said the following, he went to this and this place. That's all called v'ra'isi me'achorov. When I connect to the person, so there, that's called panim. Panim is the part of the person that somewhere responds to what the person is inside him. And when I want to connect to a person, I need to look at him. I need to look at his face. Physically, I need to do that. If you talk to somebody when you're not facing him, the first call they always teach you in any teaching and so on, that you have to make eye contact. But even when we physically look at somebody, I can make a decision how far am I willing to connect. Somebody comes to me for tzedakah. So I have a limited budget. I don't know exactly if the person, whatever it is about the person, I make up my mind beforehand, I will process it information-wise. It's a kollel, 20 of a chim, I give for that type of thing $10. That's it. The way in which I don't allow myself to get absorbed with the person, I can flick on a switch and make contact with the person, and then I sort of connect with the person, and then I become absorbed in him and his problem, and so on and so forth. Those are two midas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has those midos, and he has it with the person also. There's halomas ayin, and there's ha'aras panim. Ha'aras panim means he allows his face, he allows his insight to make contact with the other person. When somebody is with us, when we have an interaction with a person, in business, in community, in family, so the person, if he's not antagonistic, he will radiate one of two ways in which he wants to communicate, business-like or personal. One is called halomas ayin. One is called Ha'aras Panim. V'hine, k'shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adam b'tzalmoy, lo yirak shechilek mikvayde lebasav adam, latiro b'mayla shoseichu midas tovos. Not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give a person certain qualities, ala gam b'zeh broy b'tzalmoy, sheish b'odam koach shal Ha'aras Panim. In other words, we not only have the ability to do things, like we can do a chesed for somebody, we can construct things, we can give over some of our self, we can connect with some self. Soitzu shal aris panim ba adam hu adas. That's the chelik that's das. Koyach shal is boynus le'aram sayin. The reason why it's called das is as follows. In the chelkei aseichel, the different parts of the seichel in its psychological structure. There's the part that absorbs information, there's the part that processes it, there's the part that extrapolates from it. Those are all very nice things. There's one part that asks you, connect, not connect. For instance, everybody here knows there's a place called Darfur in Sudan. Everyone knows that people are killing each other terribly and butchering each other, people are starving and everything like that. I don't think anyone's missing information. I don't think anyone would tell us, well, if people are starving, hungry, so on and so forth, we should do something for them. The reason why we don't is because we don't allow it to invade or to connect our das process. We don't want to be part of it, and that's that. I once saw a tremendous insight. I don't know how many people here could remember, when in the early days of the tshuva movement, like in the early 70s, there was an article in the Rolling Stones, it's probably been reprinted Ein Sof times afterwards, but about a brother and a sister who came to Eretz Yisrael. They got caught up in Esh HaTorah, and they were called Willis, and he remained in yeshiva, remained frum, and he's today one of their people, I think, in South Africa. She stayed there for a while, had very, very strong feelings for it, left. She was a reporter for the Rolling Stones, and she wrote the article. I forgot what it's called, but it's very famous. They probably reprinted in different books and so on. Him I know, and her I never met. She was there way before I had Shaifas. So Reb Noach, towards the end that she was leaving, Reb Noach told her a tremendous insight on why she's not been affected by this whole process. He told her, your profession is a newspaper reporter. That means you will allow yourself to become very involved in a situation without letting yourself go. It's like you always have a line to reel you back in, because else you couldn't do it. So on the one hand, the reporter needs to be very into whatever it is that he's reporting. You need to be very involved. On the other hand, there's a piece that pulls you back before you decide to stay there or to become part of it. That part is called das, and that's where Ha'aretz Panim comes in. Gam ba'aretz panim shel adam tomer oitzah shel bracha chanina. Soitzah shel aretz panim ha'das. Koyach shel hizboinus b'li alamis ayin. K'moy shel Rashi na'al mevayet shakadosh baruch hu noson leiv lehelim einov. V'kach hu mevayet tzal Moshe Rabbeinu vayar b'siv loisom. Noson einov v'libo lios meitz aleihem. He applied his eyes and heart to be meitz aleihem. Let's take another example, which we can all relate to also. A doctor sees tons of patients a day. And if he's an oncologist or a cardiologist, he sees patients that are difficult patients. He, as a professional, he probably is aware of every single fact. He probably sees a patient and says, well, based on this, and this, I give it 3 to 4 months, and so on and so forth. And he knows it better than anyone else knows it, and yet he cannot allow himself to become really emotionally involved. It's not a chisaron, but what Rashi says, nosan leiv v'lo helim einov, there was a decision to apply oneself. Kav yocha by Kadosh Baruch Hu it's a midah, and by us it's a possibility. Harei v'kachu mevayet Moshe Rabbeinu v'yabesiv loisim, nosan einov v'libo tzentzei. Moshe Rabbeinu had the same midah of making a decision. Moshe Rabbeinu was grown up as a Mitzri. He could have decided not to connect. He knew what was happening in Klal Yisrael. He could have made a decision not to connect. We're talking about a small thing. V'kan mizgal lanu shudava godl mo'oid midal yonash HaKadosh Baruch Hu himidosa shemesh ha'bein al ha'sholem asha hoidois lo niyosh le'achagula. I want to talk about this point, because this point is really, really a crucial point. Most people who need something, if it's a trivia, I need a glass of water, somebody brings a glass of water, it's very nice, and so on and so forth. Fine, that's not real, that's not chesed's real. Somebody needs help, whatever it is, it's a difficult situation, and he needs some help. If a person's in a difficult enough situation, He's going through a family crisis, he's going through a financial crisis, he's going through some child-raising crisis. Most of the time, besides the technical help, the person's own self is kind of crumbling. Person goes through a very difficult family situation. It's very tough on the person's own metzias. He needs somebody to share his metzias with him. And that's very, very hard. Most of us don't want to get involved, and we make a decision to step back. Haras panim is not a smile only. It's not being nice and friendly, even though it is something. When you walk in some place and nobody greets you or meets you or whatever it is, then there's no sense of existence. If I can walk through a room, there was one boy told me, and it was the most heartbreaking point that a person made to me. There was a certain boy in yeshiva by us a while back. He was one, a very nice kid, totally unnoticed. I don't know how to describe it. Just a person that just somehow was not popular, not bad in any way, just not. And he came to me once, he said he wants to discuss something. He said he noticed that year after year on Simchas Torah, he's the last one to get an aliyah. It's like, he's like the last one, okay, he didn't get an aliyah. Yeah, of course. So Chaim didn't get an aliyah, of course. Well, Chaim will give it. He decided a few years back, it'll be different. And he stood by the bima, from the first Kayim, he stood next to the Gavin Malkriya, and he said, "And Rebbe, I was the last one to get an aliyah again." And there was a lot of hurt. He said, do I not exist? I'm not there. The person's biggest need is to feel that to somebody he exists, he's important. I found again over years of experience, the bachrim who are kind of in that category where they're not, where they don't stand out, they usually when they get married, there's an extraordinary positive influence in the sense somebody looks forward to their coming, somebody is waiting for them, somebody misses them, somebody notices them. But when it's up to us to relate to other people and listen to the other person is important. I think I said of a story last time about when I went out collecting with somebody once. I don't know if I had a friend of mine, a well-to-do person, who told me when somebody comes collecting, he cuts short the person. He says, "Listen, I know what I'm going to give. I have a budget and I give someone I don't know when he's collecting facts like this. It's a waste of his time. Why should he spend his time talking to me in false hope that we're getting somewhere? When I'm not, so I cut it short and that." And I mean, he was sincere about it, he really meant it. But I told him, I had an experience once, I was many years ago, 14, 15 years ago, when my father was sick. I was in America for a while to take care of him, and I literally physically bumped into a chavrusa in the street, somebody from Eretz Yisrael, a younger man, a very chashuv younger man, and he had a kollel for many years that was supported by someone in America, single-handedly, and that was that. And then the person called up and said, "Listen, I'm retiring, I can't keep this type of commitment." So he wanted to close it down. He didn't need the parnassah. His wife made a good parnassah. And Rabbi Yashiv is his great uncle, his uncle. And Rabbi Yashiv said, "No." He said, you undertook responsibility. If you can't, you can't, but you've got to make the effort. So he was an America collecting. He didn't know English. He didn't know anything. He had some antiquated mishloach list that somebody had given him. It was horrendous. I mean, it was hard to tell whether it was a mixture of a fairy tale and a joke and pathetic. The whole thing was just. So I said, "Listen, I have time. I'll go with you, without using my name." I that time was the mirror. I didn't think it was right to kind of use. But I said, "I'll just physically help you. You didn't know English or anything." So we went around to like businesses during the daytime. That was fine. That was okay. And then at night we went around Flatbush to homes. So it was a cold, rainy night. And obviously, nobody was home and nobody was opening. I mean, we spent 2.5 hours in a freezing rain getting no place. I told him, I said, "Nobody's going to open the door. Nobody wants to be bothered." But he had the list. So finally, we knocked on somebody's door. A very funny young man, a Baltstocker. He welcomes in and come down and please sit down. And yes, what is it about? And when we finished, he said, listen, he said, I used to be very, very wealthy and I was able to support many institutions plus whatever institutions he's personally involved in. His businesses fell at the time a bit, and Reb Shlomo Zalman said he has no chiyuv to give to outsiders. But he didn't feel good about it, so he cut it down to half what he gave outsiders, and you know, and like, and he gave whatever he gave. So I told my friend, you know, I said, for us that night, that was like Mechaya Mason. I mean, had he just given the check and abruptly sent us in our way, it was in its place, its time, it was a chizuk. It was something that gave us, you know, it's not pleasant to be out 2.5 hours of freezing rain, and when you're, you know, when you do it, you do it. It's the ha'aras part of it means to connect to a person's mitzias, and it's very hard because everybody's involved in his own issues and doesn't want somebody else's issues. But when we sit down, I always say it says by Eov, if you ask somebody what's the safer friendship in Tanakh, and the answer is Eov. Eov is the story of somebody sitting with three friends and talking. That's the story of Eov. And it says they came Lonad Roish Lenachmoy. Lonad Roish means to shake their heads along, and Lenachmo is to comfort him. So, you know, the word Lonad Roish in modern Hebrew also has a connotation of he nodded his head, yeah. You know, it's not. So what does that mean? Mele comforting, okay, but what's Lonad Roish? And I think in the original meaning, when you talk to somebody and you connect with the person, like when you talk to the audience, if they agree with you, they shake along. In other words, there's a sense, there's a nod of agreement almost involuntarily because you connected. When Eve's going through his tzaras, the tzaras is going through the everything he lost, they can't do anything. It wasn't something they could do, especially the part that he was sick and so on. But by not leaving him alone, by being with him, there was a sense of you've not been cast off from society. It's probably the hardest part of it, and it's the most basic part of it. Ha'aras panim means where I convey to the other person the sense that I'm connected with you. And it comes to facial expressions. It's very hard to do it artificially because you have. You know, it's outside things can be done little lishma, little not lishma, by rote, and whatever. But Horus Panim itself is something, Ma'ata Nelech, just try to, Ma'ata Nelech Tzad Echad Hola. Sorry? Hine Deminu?
Yeah.
Hine Deminu Shanaiskin Binyan Cotton Shakdam Israel. We thought we're just talking about a small thing. The smile part is like a little chesed. Vikan Misgalan Shudova Godl Moid. Midal Yon Shakarish Baruch Hu Bimidosa Shemesh Yerushalam Asha Hoides Lo Nio Shliach Gula. We're talking about, this is the Mida that made Moshe Rabbeinu Shliach Gula. Lirois Machser Shazulas Hi Midas Haras Parim. So, of course, the give a smile when it's artificial, it's a small gesture and it's quite meaningless. But when you're talking about sit down and connect to the person, then you're talking about something that is overwhelming mida. The goyel is somebody. Let's explain it with an illustration. If I want to pull somebody out of a tough spot physically, two things need to be in place. I need to be in a good spot, and my hand needs to be long enough to reach him and to grip his hand. If I'm high and dry, but I can't reach down and connect to the person where he is, I can't lift him out. The same thing is true with Eitzah, the muscle. If a person gets the sense, he talks to me about his problem, and I'm sitting high and dry, and I say, okay, just say no. It shouldn't be a problem. I'm torn with jealousy. This person is so much better than me. Well, just don't be jealous. So I'm right, but I'm a mile away from the person. A goyel means someone that can take somebody from point A to point B. It's a tremendous, it requires to be in point B and in point A. It's one of the real challenges of like a Rebbe figure. A Rebbe figure has to be higher than his Talmidim, and he has to be able to connect to the Talmidim. If he's in the same plane as the Talmidim, that's great, they love him, but he's not taking them any place. He's keeping them where they are. They like Tzatzkus and he likes Tzatzkus. If he's a big, he's on a pedestal, but he can't reach down, I don't know why he should want to play with Tzatzkus, maybe like Tzatzkus with an Asivus, it's great, but they're not going anywhere with that. The Ha'aras Panim means, where I am, I can reach over to the other person and grab his hand. That's the shayrish of a goyel, and it's the shayrish of Midas HaChesed.
Question 6 months ago. How much did it?